You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At BP, we've reset our strategy with a focused downstream, a growing upstream, and disciplined investment in the transition. See how we'll grow shareholder value at bp.com/reset.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are closing out the last chapter of our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity, The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence by Crawford Loritz. He believes that Christian leaders live from and lead with four common identity characteristics: brokenness, uncommon communion, servanthood, and then lastly, radical and immediate obedience. We have gone through each trait, and we are ending on the final chapter, chapter 16, which is about faithfulness. I have thoroughly enjoyed this book. If you are a leader in any capacity or an aspiring leader, I suggest that you get this book. The word that I would use for it is sobering. Just simply because leadership, even in Christian spaces, can get so surface level. Like, a lot of the conversations can be surface level. It can be vain. It could be a bunch of fake deep rhetoric. But this really hits the reality of what being a Christian leader looks like. So I highly suggest that if you have not been following along on these episodes, if you are new here, that you get this book, that you go back to the first conversation we had, and that you read it for yourself, because I promise you that you will enjoy it. This is one that's going up there with my favorite Christian books. This is definitely high on the list. All right, so here we are, chapter 16. The title of chapter 16 is called The Legacy of Faithfulness. Every chapter opens up with a scripture and a quote. The scripture here is Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The quote is by Ken Burr. It says, "In my life, typically God has used difficult circumstances, times, and disagreeable people to help me understand often in hindsight, what he has prepared for me in ministry. He opens up the chapter with discussing a conversation that he had with a friend of his who is very influential. He says he has this international radio ministry. He's an author and a speaker and has been able to touch millions of people's lives. And he was saying how they were talking one day and out of nowhere, his friend just began to chuckle. So he asked him, of course, what's funny. And he just couldn't believe, his friend just couldn't really believe what the Lord has done in his life. He was saying that he's not particularly smart or unusually gifted, but he believes that what has made a difference and what has made him successful is faithfulness. The author goes on to say, over time, faithfulness wins, hands down. There is no comparison. It's not even close. It's good to be smart, gifted, and faithful. What a wonderful combination. But intelligence and ability will only get you so far. Faithfulness will carry you across the finish line. He says a faithful person is one who steadily follows God and obeys him consistently. Faithfulness is the stuff of stability, the evidence of purpose, the signature of commitment. Faithfulness demonstrates that we take responsibility and accountability seriously. Faithfulness says that we believe that God's assignments are important. He says, as I write these words, I see the faces of gifted leaders I have met through the years, full of promise and ability. Sadly, some of them never realized the potential wrapped up in their dreams and abilities. They took shortcuts. They coasted because they were quick studies with attractive personalities and persuasive public gifts. They did what they liked to do, what they wanted to do, but not very much of what they should have been doing. I think of a young promising leader I met some years back who, despite his obvious abilities, had very little discipline. Initially, he was like a pot piper. People were drawn to his charismatic personality and his ability to speak. He had a quick mind, and with very little effort, he could put presentations together and captivate his audience. The problem was that very little effort became a habit. He became increasingly lazy. He wouldn't complete his assignments. If you desire to serve God long term, if you want your life to count, if you want to leave a legacy with your children and with the people you serve as a leader, you will pursue faithfulness in your life. As I was reading this, I was thinking that many of us like to think that we're like the author and his friend, people who wake up every day and are faithful to the Lord, to the assignment, who take it seriously, who see it through in the mundane, the day to day. But a lot of us are a lot more like this young leader that he described, where we're talented and we're gifted and charismatic, and all of those skills that the Lord has given us has allowed us to coast and become lazy in a lot of ways. And that is proven when obstacles come, when hardships present itself, that we, or when something feels too difficult or too boring, when the dopamine isn't there anymore, we give up, we put it down. We're not committed as we should be. And we talked about commitment in the last chapter. But I'm so glad that he's ending this book on faithfulness, because something that I've even seen in my own journey of being an entrepreneur, this year will be 10 years of entrepreneurship for me, 8 years of full-time entrepreneurship, and also around like 8 or 9 years of doing business God's way. If I think of anything that I've done that has amounted to a level of success, it hasn't come from just my skills or my gifts. It's come from faithfulness. It hasn't come from making the right decision a couple of times. It's come from making the right decision and choosing to commit to the Lord and obey him every day in ways that are spectacular or in ways that are seemingly minuscule. And he's going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. But in those minuscule decisions to be faithful to the Lord, for me personally, have been the times where I've seen the biggest rewards. Even this past week, for example, we at Anchor Media Studios, we have private offices that are available for rent. And for the last few months, we have been at capacity where all of our office spaces are sold out. one of them just recently became available. And so that was a bit of a frustrating thing for us because we weren't planning on that lease ending. This person had a personal matter that impacted their ability to utilize the space, so they had to terminate their lease. While understandable, if we're looking at it from a business standpoint, it was frustrating because now my focus is, of course, getting this office sold. And my business partner is looking at the income essentially that will be lost as a result of this office, the recurring income at that, that will be lost as a result of this office being vacant now. We got an inquiry that came in for the studio to be used for, they wanted to shoot a movie scene in our conference room. And my aunt and I were just discussing how we were going to make sure that this office got leased. And I was just like, hey, we're going to just trust the Lord. I'll get to it when I get to it. Because I had other things to prioritize at that time. I'm like, I'll focus on that when I can, but I trust that the Lord is going to provide because he's provided up until this point. And I just left it at that. So here comes out the blue, this inquiry for a production company to use the studio to shoot a movie. This is 15 hours worth of booking hours that they needed to get done what they were looking to get done. What they paid us to do that was double what our office was being leased for. I didn't go looking for that opportunity. I didn't go try to hustle and figure it out to get this sold. I didn't rush to focus on it at all because I had other things that I needed to do before I could get to that. And I just trusted that the way that the Lord has continued to be faithful to this business, that he will do that. And I'm going to continue to be faithful to him by not stressing and allowing circumstances to create anxiety in me. And he provided. So much so that not only was the payout double what we would make for the office, but now we're going to be in a freaking movie. And our names, myself and my business partner, is going to be in the credits along with our space. So that's publicity that everybody who sees the movie will see our space and see our business name. Then they reached out to me again today, wanted to do another 12 hours because they love the space so much, loved working with me. So now they want to come back and do even more. And it was just such a reminder, I call it a God wink. It was such a reminder of his faithfulness. And it was so encouraging to me to continue to be faithful to him. And so I want you guys, as we talk about faithfulness, to think about the ways in which you can continue to show up for the one who has never not shown up for you. This is a necessity as leaders. And we'll talk about like the mundane in a second, but just understand this general concept of faithfulness. And I want you to take inventory on ways in which you may have abandoned the Lord as opposed to being faithful. Decisions that you made that were not in obedience. Decisions that you should have made based upon what the Lord was leading you to do. I want you to think about that, not to make you feel bad or to make you feel shame, but to bring you to a place of repentance so that going forward, faithfulness can be your portion as well. The author then brings up 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. These are David's final instructions to his son Solomon. It says, as the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. The author says, don't you wish you could have been a fly on the wall as David, the greatest king Israel ever had, though weak and dying, utters these clear, strong words to his son? What a historic moment. David is passing the torch of leadership in Solomon's hands. There's a sense of urgency about the moment, and David doesn't waste words. He tells his son what he must decide to do in order to sustain and experience the blessing and favor of God on his life and reign as king. In so many words, David is calling his son to make two primary decisions that are at the core of faithfulness. First, he says to Solomon to decide to live courageously. Notice the charge to be strong and show yourself a man. This message is leadership presupposed opposition and therefore requires determination to face the challenges. Courage. See it through. We will need a will to finish. But there is another implication from these words. Solomon had to become what the position and calling require. And so do we. Faithfulness does not mean redefining or reducing what needs to be done to our comfort level. At a certain point, we need to press into getting and becoming what we need and what is necessary to faithfully fulfill the assignment. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. With all that's going on in the world right now, a lot of people are asking the question of, what does the future hold for business? If you ask 9 experts, you'll get 10 answers. Bull market, bear market, rates will rise or fall, inflation's up or down. No one knows for sure. But until they do, over 41,000 businesses have future-proofed their business with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud ERP, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one fluid platform. With one unified business management suite, there's one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control that you need to make quick decisions. With real-time insights and forecasting, you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in days, not weeks, you're spending less time looking backward and more time on what's next. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I'd use. Whether your company is earning millions or even hundreds of millions, NetSuite helps you respond to immediate challenges and seize your biggest opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, download the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/blessed. The guide is free to you at netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Sometimes one of the keys to reaching our business goals is hiring the right people. And not just hiring the right people, but finding the right people as quickly as possible. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things I love about Indeed is the fact that they make hiring so fast. When I was hiring for my business, it was just such a drag and a waste of time, it felt like, with how long it took to find the right candidates. I wish I had Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There is no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. Let me put y'all on for a second. Shopping on Revolve.com is truly an experience. It's like having a personal stylist built into the site. Whether it's vacation, brunch, birthday, or date night, as I was looking for, or if you want to just get cute for no reason, at Revolve.com, they get it. And they curate it for you, which makes the shopping experience so easy. One of the things I love the most were the accessories. I went straight for the designer shades, the dainty bracelets, the statement watches, all of my favorite things to have in my closet. And with summer right around the corner, I was all in the shoe section. There are so many cute styles that are perfect for dressing up or just running errands in style. They carry over 1,200 brands, from everyday favorites to designer must-haves, plus they drop new arrivals daily. I also love their size inclusivity. As someone who has been having babies over the last 5 years or so, my size varies. And I love that they have options from extra, extra small all the way up to 4X. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and easy returns all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. Second, he charges Solomon to decide to live obediently. Look at the line in verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord your God walking in his ways. Think about it. Faithfulness by its very nature means submission and obedience. David was reminding his son that he doesn't make the rules. Neither can he do or live the way he chooses and expect a blessing and favor of God. I think we need to hear this. Let me say that one more time. David was reminding his son, and this text reminds us, that we do not make the rules. Neither can we do or live the way that we choose to and expect the blessing and favor of God. And based on what we know about Solomon, we know he didn't take heed to this advice. Many of us don't as well. It says, faithfulness says not only will we give ourselves to the completion of the assignment, but we will, by his grace and strength, honor and obey God's word as we faithfully fulfill what he has placed in our hands to do. I'm so glad that he emphasized this point, because this is not something that I believe is discussed enough or something that we readily accept enough. And that is, it's not about what we want to do. It's not about how we want to do something. We have to surrender our own preferences, our own mindset, our own timeline, our own methodology. We have to surrender it all so that we can obey the detailed what, when, why, and how of the Lord's instructions. We have to crucify our flesh, and that includes our preferences in a way in which we would prefer to go about doing God's assignment. Our faithfulness is also found in our ability to submit to his leadership and to obey him thoroughly, as we've discussed over and over again. And this is something that takes work, because there's so much warped theology, I feel like, that's out there. This feel good gospel that is all about us being blessed and feeling great and the Lord honoring us and him giving us the desires of our heart. And it's as if the Lord just lives to serve us and that we live to serve him. So much theology that's out there and content that's out there is just so wrong. And it is leaving us ill-deceived, for one, and two, ill-equipped to really be able to go about this life, because a big part of this life is to deal with that conflict and that tension of surrendering what you want to do in order to take hold of what the Lord says. A lot of that tension is you reading in the word, how he wants you to live and behave and his commandments and his decrees, and you have to follow them even if you don't necessarily agree with them. But this warped theology will tell us that, oh, no, we could pick and choose how we express our Christianity. No, no, no. God is clear. God is clear. And the Bible isn't for us to manipulate text and to create our own standard. It is for us to crucify our flesh to live up to his standard. That's a non-negotiable for this life. And so for many of us, it's going to take some time It's going to take some deliverance. It's going to take some praying and fasting and really asking the Lord to change our hearts. But we have to do it. It's because, like I said, it's a non-negotiable. This next section here is titled Faithfulness is Responsibility in Motion. He says, a friend once told me that his father never used an alarm clock. Before he retired, his dad always got up before dawn to go to work. One day, out of curiosity, my friend asked his dad why he never needed an alarm, and the father's response was priceless. Responsibility woke me up this morning. He had a mortgage to pay, mouths to feed, and a future to secure. Responsibility told laziness, take your hands off him. It's time for him to get up and go after it. His dad took seriously his assignment to care and provide for his family. He owned that responsibility. Throughout this book, leadership has been presented not as a hobby or a point of interest, but as a sacred trust. As a leader, you have been called to do something, to accomplish something for the honor and glory of God. It is your daily choices that you demonstrate how seriously you take that responsibility. It is what you decide to do when the daily alarm clock of responsibility goes off that makes the difference. Will you shut it off and roll over and go back to sleep? Or will you get up and greet it with gratitude and holy ambition? He goes on to say, we need to be acutely aware of the cumulative nature of our little choices. What I eat and whether I exercise will determine the state of my body. Whether I read scripture and great books or watch TV and listen to talk radio will make me into the person I will be 5 years from now. I should discipline myself today, not for discipline's sake, but for the purpose of godliness. And that part is in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. He says the key expression is the cumulative nature of our little choices. The young man I mentioned earlier apparently underestimated the synergy of all the little decisions he made each day. Choices and decisions become patterns and habits. They become exponential in their force and impact. If they are the wrong decisions or even not the best decisions, over time, our faithfulness is damaged. We are left with dreams and desires, but no discernible footprints in the sands of time. On the other hand, good choices over time demonstrate faithfulness, and God rewards that faithfulness with increasing responsibility. When we obey God in the small things, He will give us an opportunity to hear His calling for ministry. He says, I should also mention that a leader's responsibilities often include a lot of stuff you don't want to do, but that stuff comes with the territory. God's assignments are not always about making you happy. As I wrote earlier in this book, hardship and difficulties are part of the leader's portfolio, their calling. You prove yourself to be faithful and trustworthy by weathering the storms. This part reminded me of a book that I read. I cannot remember the name of it at all, but this was a secular book, personal development book. I think I read this back in like 2020. And the purpose of the book was talking about just what makes successful people successful. And the answer to that was success doesn't come from one big decision and failure doesn't come from one bad decision, but it is the mundane, those little decisions on a day to day that add up to success or that add up to failure. And it's the same thing as it relates to faith and what he described here, that our faithfulness is produced or an accumulation of those mundane day-to-day decisions. When you woke up, did you choose to scroll through your phone or did you choose to take some time to pray and seek the Lord? When someone offended you, did you take a second to gather your composure and then respond well? Or did you lean into your flesh and your anger and clap back immediately? If a temptation came for you to take money and opportunity over waiting on the Lord and seeing what He will provide, what did you do? All of the little teeny tiny decisions, some big, some small, some seemingly mundane, some seemingly important. The accumulation of all of those decisions add up to your faithfulness or your disobedience. And so we have to take this walk because it can be very difficult. We have to take this walk one decision at a time. And each decision, we have to prioritize, hey, in this moment, I'm going to choose faithfulness. I'm going to choose obedience. I'm going to choose to surrender to the Lord. And then when the next moment comes, we do the exact same thing. And then little by little, those things start to add up. And you'll start to look up and see how the Lord has grown you, transformed you, blessed you, expanded your territory, and been faithful to you as a result of your faithfulness to Him. The next section here is called Faithfulness is a Single Mind in Motion. He says, distraction is the arch enemy of the leader. Good, wonderful things can distract you from that one God thing you've been called to do. Most leaders in various degrees wage war with the lure of good things and compelling ideas and ventures that divert them from being faithful to their primary calling. You get sold and sucked in only to regret it later on. There are three things I have learned to do when I'm presented with a tempted opportunity. First, I ask God to show me if this is something I should be involved in. Second, I say to myself, just because I can do this doesn't mean that I should do this. Third, I will seek insight and wisdom from those close to me. Here's what I have learned. Distractions can cause you to be faithful about the wrong stuff. Our hearts are right, but we just got pulled slightly off course. Things are not exactly right, and our primary calling is spinning its wheels. We can't seem to get traction. In the early 1990s, I was, among other things, giving leadership to one of the national ministries of CREW, maintaining a very busy speaking schedule, and sitting on various boards of organizations. That was all in addition to my responsibilities as a husband and father. I was tired, and I began to question my effectiveness. A dear friend said to me one day, there comes a time when you have to stop doing the things that you can do, and even the things that you are improving in, and concentrate on the things you were born to do. God used those words to give me focus. What are you born to do? Are you faithfully focused on doing that? Let Paul's advice to the young leader Timothy calibrate your decisions and activities. So let's read the scripture that was brought here from 2 Timothy 2, 2 through 7, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. And I actually just read from verse 1 because it's right here. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. The author says, Paul was underscoring to Timothy the relationship between focus and faithfulness. Once again, he was telling him not to let anything get him off track. We need to ask the hard questions about our schedules and workloads. We are not all the same. What may be considered as a distraction to one person may very well be a focus to another. And there are times when focus means different things at different times. But in each season, it's important to seek God's wisdom on whether you are focused enough on God's assignment for your life. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is a huge deal. My oldest is heading to kindergarten in the fall, and fun fact, his school uses IXL. So we are so excited to lean into it. If you're anything like me, you want to set your child up for success. But sometimes those homework questions feel like another language, especially this new math that these kids are doing. Or maybe your child is ahead and needs more of a challenge. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help them really master topics in a fun, encouraging way. And here's what I love. IXL works for every child. Whether your kid is just starting out or in high school, one subscription gives you everything, pre-K through 12th grade. It's backed by research, and kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students nationwide are learning with it right now. So if you're looking to save time, save money, and see real progress, this is the smartest investment that you can make. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Cozy Earth. As a mom of 2 and a full-time entrepreneur, my days are nonstop. And I've learned the hard way that when I don't sleep well, everything feels harder and everything suffers. That's why I had to upgrade my nights with Cozy Earth. Their bamboo sheet set, let me tell you, game changer. It's the softest, most breathable fabric I've ever slept on. And the best part to me is the temperature regulation. I'm someone who gets hot in my sleep. I freeze my husband every night with the fan, but with the temperature regulation, I don't have to wake up hot or tossing and turning. I just rest deeply. So if you're someone who wears multiple hats like me, sometimes we have a tendency of putting ourselves last, and it's time to change that. Prioritize sleep and prioritize you. Visit CozyEarth.com and use my code BLESSED for up to 40% off sheets, pajamas, towels, and more. That's CozyEarth.com, code BLESSED. And if you get a post-purchase survey, let them know that you heard it right here. Sleep better with Cozy Earth. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Have you ever had those days where you're doing everything quote-unquote right, eating clean, staying active, getting rest, but your energy's still crashing, your moods are all over the place, and you feel totally out of sync? I've definitely been there. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz myself, and the results were eye-opening. It said my body may be overflowing with estrogen, which could be behind symptoms like my fatigue, bloating, and low moods. And based on my results, the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, a natural formula that helps flush out excess estrogen and brings your body back into balance. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. I got a hard lesson in distractions and focus. I want to say it's been about almost 2 years now. And I've been vocal on this show about the Lord telling me to slow down and how hard that was for me. Like even being in therapy, I would talk to my therapist. One of the things we discussed was a window of tolerance. And she described it as our bodies on these two different extremes react a certain way. So if your body is in a hyper-reactive state, and that's when you're stressed, overwhelmed, in fight or flight mode, just putting out fires. Or you can, on the opposite end, your body can be in a hypo-reactive state. That's when you are depressed, bedridden, you're not moving, nothing is getting done for the day. You just think about being in bed with your covers over your head all day long. You're not doing anything. And so she says that the space that we want to be is in the middle. because in the middle is considered our window of tolerance. You don't want to be too close to the top, that hyperreactive state, and you don't want to operate from a place too close at the bottom, that hyporeactive state, because then one bad thing happening in a day, one thing coming up that you didn't account for will send you straight into fight or flight mode or send you straight into a depression. So you want to operate in a space to where there's enough freedom for life to happen, essentially. And so when she and I were in therapy, what I found out about myself is that I was operating very closely to that hyperreactive state. One wrong thing getting thrown in my day will put me straight into stress mode. And I needed to make decisions that were going to lessen my load. Like the author said, just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should. And so even from a spiritual standpoint, the Lord was calling me to slow down, to be more present, to smell the roses, to be more hands-on with certain things, to just be more sensitive to him as he presented himself in a different way. This is when I learned how, yes, the Lord will show up in the earth, wind, and fire and these grandiose manifestations of his presence, but he also speaks in a still small voice. And I feel like for a long season, the Lord was choosing to only speak to me in that way to train me to be still enough to still hear him and to keep in step with him, as we've talked about many times before. But for me, that season of slowing down forced me into a space of having to focus, because my business still needs to make money. Just because the Lord is calling me to slow down, that doesn't mean my income needs to slow down. So now I need to focus on what are the things that I actually need to be doing that are giving me the best return on investment, that have the lowest overhead, that allow me to have peace with my work and not be stressed out. That's what I need to do. When it came to my family, I could get distracted by the logistics of what it takes to make our life run smoothly, and that would then take away from the focus of just being present. Just being present and attentive to the communicated and uncommunicated needs of those in my home. And so the Lord requires us to be focused. Focused on him, focused on the assignment, and that's how we are effective. But the great thing about uncommon communion, another one of those traits that he taught, is that the Lord will course correct as he sees fit. And I am a testament to that, how he has course corrected me in a new way of maintaining harmony in all the hats that I wear, in a way that is focused, a way that is fruitful, and a way that is faithful. The Lord will show you exactly how to do that, but you have to recognize when you're getting distracted, when you're on too many boards, involved in too many ministries, have too many businesses, and not one of them is doing well. Like, we have to know how to focus and rely on the Lord to make it clear what we need to be focused on. He closes out by giving some examples. The first one was about Daniel. So he starts off saying, gravitas is a Latin word, the root of the English words grave and gravity. Gravitas means to have weight and substance. Often it refers to those who bring a sense of moral focus, weight, and substance to their moment in history. God's leaders who are faithful can't help but to bring a sense of holy gravitas to their environment. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's Colossians 1 and 10. When we do God's will, our lives are characterized by a worthy walk. Our faithful obedience to his will, as I said in the last chapter, ensures that God's unique presence will be with us. Daniel was faithful. He was God's man, and his life was marked by gravitas. He was not defined by his times, but in a wonderful sense, his life brought definition to his times. The unbelieving, godless Babylonian Empire did not touch him, but instead he touched it for God, gravitas. Because he was faithful to God, God protected Daniel and honored him and granted him favor and stature. But this all began when Daniel was a young man and made a decision that marked the course of his life. He decided that he would not defile himself by eating the king's food, which probably included meat that had been offered to idols. This is found in Daniel 1:8. Though the decision would be tested three times in Daniel 3, 5, and 6, he passed each time, as he did not flinch when it came to faithfulness to God, and God did not flinch when it came to honoring his faithful servant. This next part is actually something new that I learned. He says another person who brought a sense of gravitas to his moment in history was William Wilberforce, the heroic English moral reformer. In many ways, the story of Wilberforce is the story of a man who lived out the qualities of a Christian leader that I've described in this book. God gave Wilberforce an incredible, seemingly impossible assignment for his life. Wilberforce wrote in his diary in 1787, a year after he converted to Christianity, that God had called him to work for the suppression of the slave trade. As a member of Parliament and with many influential friends, he realized God had put him in a position to make a difference as a public servant. "My walk is a public one," he said. "My business is in the world, and I must mix in assemblies of men or quit the post which Providence seems to have assigned me." It is difficult to imagine the difficulty and seeming impossibility of the assignment that God gave to Wilberforce. Today, we consider slavery to be a terrible evil, but as another author writes, in the world in which Wilberforce was born, the opposite was true. Slavery was as accepted as birth and marriage and death was so woven into the tapestry of human history that you could barely see its threads, much less pull them out. The slave trade was a vital part of Great Britain's foreign income. To oppose it not only meant confronting powerful economic forces, but also trying to change the minds of people who did not believe slavery was immoral. As the author writes, "The opposition that he and his small band faced was incomparable to anything we can think of in modern affairs. It was certainly unprecedented that anyone should endeavor, as if by their own strength and a bit of leverage, to tip over something about as large and substantial and deeply rooted as a mountain range. From where we stand today, and because of Wilberforce, the end of slavery seems inevitable, and it's impossible for us not to take it largely for granted. But that's the wild miracle of his achievement. That what to the people of his day seemed impossible and unthinkable seems to us in our day inevitable." Wilberforce brought many gifts into this struggle. For one thing, he was gifted at working with a variety of people, including many with opposing political views on other subjects. Also, he was a gifted speaker. His close friend, William Pitt, Prime Minister of England, said that he had the greatest natural eloquence of all the men I ever knew. Yet he always knew that he could not complete this assignment in his own power. It was just too big. In addition, he struggled with stress, depression, and digestive problems. He depended on God for strength and courage. "It is in thy power alone to deliver," he prayed. "I fly to thee for support. O Lord, let it come speedily. Give me full proof of thy almighty power. I am in great trouble, insurmountable by me, but to thee slight and inconsiderable." It is a good thing Wilberforce remained faithful to God's call for his life, because it took 20 years, y'all, to persuade Parliament to pass an act abolishing the slave trade. And then consider that this is just one of the many reforms that Wilberforce championed during his lifetime. I wanted to read all of that because a lot of the opposition that I've heard personally, and even that I've said out my mouth when the Lord has shown me the gravity of the assignment on my life, is we start to get that imposter syndrome of, why me? God, you sure you want to use me? This just seems too big. This assignment is too heavy. I don't know if I could do this. But what he just described, Wilberforce, this man who the Lord called to contribute to the abolishment of slavery, when, as they said in all of this that I read back then, it was so ingrained into society, it was normal. Think about that. Think about the weight of that assignment. And we have the privilege of living, especially those of us Black folk of African American descent, we have the privilege of living the outcome of his obedience so long ago. This is why testimony is so important. This is why reading our word is so important, because we get the privilege of seeing the full picture of how stories unfold of those who the Lord has called, so that that can encourage us to say yes to our own stories, even if we don't live to see the fruit of our obedience. I wonder if Wilberforce could take a little peek into the present day and see people like me owning businesses, owning properties, to see other African Americans who are in positions of power, to see that we had an African American president, how we had an African American woman be the vice president of the United States, to see how Black people have grown, how we are doctors and lawyers and influential figures and innovators, culture shifters, world changers. Like, if he could just peek into today to see the outcome of his obedience, I wonder how he would feel. And I want you to think about that with whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do that seems too heavy, that seems too big. Think about generations from now, because the Lord ain't worried about this year, next year. He is a long-term strategist. The Lord is planning his plans for generations. So think about how what you're doing today will impact generations from now. You may not live to see it. Your children might, your great-grandchildren might, their children might, you don't know. But it should be enough to just obey the Lord and be faithful to him and reap your rewards in eternity. Because I'm sure what's happening down here ain't better than the eternal rewards that Wilberforce is able to experience in heaven. I just thought that was just such a great example of being faithful despite the impossibility or the perceived impossibility of the assignment. The author ends the book by saying this: "Today we look at the life of a man like Wilberforce with astonishment. And yet it's just one example of the weight God gives to what any of us can do when we are faithful to him. We desperately need men and women who will faithfully live and lead God's way. The power of authority to lead comes from God. His way is brokenness, uncommon communion, servanthood as an identity, and radical immediate obedience. May these things characterize our lives and our leadership. May we bring the weight and the glory of God to bear on the work he has called us to do and to the world in which he has called us to do it." So that's it. That is the end of Leadership as an Identity by Crawford Loritz. We start with our next book next week. We are reading, I don't think I said this in the very beginning, but we will be reading Charles Stanley's book, The Spirit-Filled Life. Go ahead and grab that, read chapter one, and we will discuss that one next week. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.